I love this time of year. I love month, you know? I got to be, my wife probably likes it a little bit better too, because I'm a little better behaved. When I, you know, if you're going to preach on something, you better act right. So with your wife, if you're going to preach on how to be married and different things. And, but I enjoy love month. I think marriage is such a key institution, really, for the glory of the church and His great namesake. And I believe it's one reason why it's under such attack today. I believe we'll consider what God had in mind when it comes to marriage. We'll see some great truths of how His glory is to be seen in this world, and really to a lost and dying world. You know, we've talked about the home and the strength of the home a lot, and talk about the importance of the father being there in that home, and how when the father's not there, that it's detrimental to the home. I praise the Lord. Yesterday, we had a great time over at Paint Bank. We had started up our men's prayer breakfast, and we're going to have one again next month. We haven't set a date yet, but there was over 20 men that showed up for that meeting. And we sit right there in the middle of the Swinging Bridge restaurant, and we just enjoyed a time of fellowship, a message that Aaron delivered to us and challenged us to be men and stand in the place that God has put us. And then we had a time of prayer. And there's people observing what was going on, but with Randy, I believe he was impacting people's lives just doing what we'd done yesterday. It was pretty amazing, the very person that Tanya shared a testimony about, the man reading through the Bible. He wasn't even part of our little prayer meeting there. I had invited him, and he brought down the biscuits. And I said, but he sort of stood off to the side, but I didn't even know he was even paying attention to what Aaron was talking about. And I don't know if he did. I just think the Lord led him over to our prayer time. I get up to take prayer requests, and I'm talking about how, you know, things we need to pray for in our community, that we'll be the men, be the leaders our community needs to have, and, you know, praying for those type of things. And he and other men shared their prayer requests of things that was going on. And he stepped up and said, I don't have nothing bad to say. I got something good. And he just he walks right up there and addressed all our men. He said, I got to thinking about how my life would be different if certain people weren't here at this place in Paint Bank working in this establishment. And he said, talked about Aaron and his wife and Rich, if Rich wasn't here. And he said, I thought about how God really places people there for a reason. And if they were not there, he said, I was an agnostic. But now I'm reading my Bible every day. And he said, it's changed my life. I thought, man, that's so it, folks. It's it. Us living out the Christian life every day. And it's so important in our marriages that we, our marriages strive for the potential that Christ has in our marriages. You guys have heard me say that our marriages ought to be in such a way that people, when they witness our marriage, they witness our family life, that they are led or pointed to Jesus Christ as a result of how we live. You might think that's a bit too much, but I don't. As I study the Word of God and I see the emphasis that He puts on marriage and the emphasis of the church relationship, I see a bigger picture of us bringing glory to Him. And then I understand it a little bit better, why it is under such an attack today. It's a sad day when people in the church, the divorce rate is the same as the people are in the world. Something's happening. And I want to tell you, when two people will live for God in a marriage, divorce will never happen. It will be 100% success. And may we get a hold of that. But you know what? If we're not going to live for God, just because a person's a Christian doesn't mean they're living for God. You know, just to have to say that mom and dad's a Christian, so I was raised in a Christian home, that doesn't make it a Christian home, folks. What makes it a Christian home is if you're really living as a Christian ought to live. And the same way in our marriages. Do we put Him first? In Mark chapter 4, we see Jesus Christ Himself speaking about marriage. Looking at verses 8 through 9, He goes back and He's basically referencing Genesis 2 and verse 24. But it says in Mark chapter 10, verses 8 through 4, it says, "And they twain shall be one flesh, so then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder." This was the foundation stone for all of Jesus' teachings on a marriage. In Genesis 2:24, it says, "Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." Being one in marriage is what God intended. One in everything. It says that we are created spirit, soul, and body. And we are created in that order. And I want to tell you, everything as Christians is spiritual. If we neglect the spiritual, we're neglecting everything about life. We neglect the spiritual, we're going to suffer greatly. The spiritual things in life are the most important. May we see this morning what God has put together. Let no man put asunder. I know, to me that is bone-chilling words to hear. This is what God has put together. Let me tell you, the main actor in a marriage is not a man or a woman or the pastor or the parents or the government. The main actor in a marriage is God Himself. God is the one who joins people together as one. There is no oneness without God. Oh, you want to have a depth to your marriage and a depth to your love. Oh, you really want those things that are lasting and eternal. Do you want to be established? Well, you'll have to have God in the center of it all. This world has betrayed a dirty, filthy, undesirable picture of what marriage truly is. To the point that our young people today that are coming up, they don't even have a desire to get married. They decide, well, we ain't got to worry about it. It's just a piece of paper. I want to tell you, God ordained marriage. It is not a contract. It is a promise on the God on the behalf of each other to live according to the way that He would have us to live. And I want to tell you, your marriage, oh, it's glorious by design. Marriage is a glorious thing. It's not something to look at and to make bad jokes about. It's just like the little boy, the little girl that was wondering why the bride was in white. And it said, the mother said, the white shows just how happy the bride is. He said, well, she got to thinking. And after a little bit, she said, well, why does the groom wear black? Y'all get that in a minute. But we're quick sometimes to put those jokes out there. And that's really the mentality we have. Sometimes as men, we look at our wives as the old lady. Yeah, I hate that too. That's the most disrespectful thing there is. You look at your husband as the old man. I want to tell you, that's not the marriage that God intended. That's not the relationship that God intended for you to have. It's a beautiful thing. It's a glorious thing. I preached a message a couple weeks ago on bringing glory to God. And I want to tell you, that's the purpose of marriage, is to bring glory to God. Do you feel the weight of the words and the heaviness of the glory of God, when you see the words, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. When a couple comes together, God is the one who puts them together. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder or separate what it means. I want to tell you, it's dangerous ground when someone wants to separate what God has put together. I want to tell you, we're living in our age today where men and women haven't seen the importance of that verse. And they went against God in their attempts to pull apart a marriage and different things. And I want to tell you, they'll answer for it. Therefore, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. God will bring you into a relationship with someone who is not only incompatible with you, but is weak, tremendously weak, in the very areas you would most want them to be strong. Sometimes we think we're looking for somebody that's just like what we want and they're perfect. And here's something. You're not going to find it. Can you imagine if God waited till He found someone to perfect to redeem us? As far as He's looking for us to be redeemed, let me remind you that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you know what a marriage is a picture of? Christ and the church. Christ and the church. And He redeemed the church. He loved the church. He shared grace to us. God puts people in our lives that are incompatible to us most of the time. But there's a reason for that. You hear the thing many times, opposites attract. Yeah, I can remember being young and thinking, you know what, if I do get married, I want to find somebody who likes to ride motorcycles, likes to hunt, likes to ride horses, and I want them to do everything that I want. But the problem is, I was too much in love with myself. I think God, Missy, don't do it all the time. Give me a chance to get alone a little bit. No, I'm just joking. I'm bad. I'm sorry. No. But honestly, opposites do attract. And it's for a reason. And I want us to see this morning what that reason is. And really, folks, it is for our individual growth, but it's also for the beautiful growth together as husband and wife. Now, I want to tell you, whenever you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life and heart, you begin a journey. You begin a journey of growth, and you'll continue to grow and grow and grow until you're no more here. I don't care if you're 90 years old or 95 or 100 years old, you will still be learning and growing in the Lord. Why would God put two people together that seems to be that they're not even compatible to be together? Well, here's why. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 through 29 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." So what is the goal of what God does in His protective care of His children? It is to conform them into the image of God. The image of Christ. In other words, whatever's good, God is working in your life. He can take all things and He works it to a place that you become the very image of Christ. A mirror, a reflection of the glory. Now, I want you to think about your marriage. Now, is your marriage something that is reflecting the very image or the glory of God? Is this something of such beauty, such functionality, growth, depth in love, that it brings glory to God? Now, God joins a husband and wife in one flesh. God does that. God does that. What God joins together, let no man put asunder. God will bring you into a relationship with someone And he puts you together as one for a purpose and for a plan. And that is for that you will be conformed into the image of God together. So when we think of the image of Christ, what are some of the characteristics that automatically come to your mind? Well, for me, there's four that stand out. Unconditional love, truth, mercy, and grace. Unconditional love, truth, mercy, and grace. When I think about being the image of Christ, these are what I think about. So, unconditional love in your marriage. Listen to this. How would you learn unconditional love if you were married to someone who meets all the conditions? You know, it's easy to love someone when they're everything you thought they were. But unconditional love loves them even when they're not quite what you thought they were. Unconditional, folks, means unconditional. And what we're talking about here that enters into the marriage of a man and woman that are saved is agape love. And it's God's love. It's not surface love. Oh, and it's not selfish love. May I remind you that love is a choice. Love is not a feeling. But it's a choice. And it's something that God puts in us as Christians that we have the capability, it's His love through us, to love unconditionally. See, the Bible says that God is love. A person who does not know Christ as his Savior or her Savior cannot share this love. This love is greater. It's deeper. It's wider than anything that we can drum up as humans. And this unconditional love is in here. And there are times that we have to learn. We love them anyway. I'm sure there's had to be many times. Maybe one time that I've disappointed Missy. But she had to make the choice. She's going to love me anyway. It's unconditional. Just once, wasn't it? Okay, good. I want nobody talking to her after service. She made a statement. It was just once. But you know what? There's people that hurt us. I have found out in marriage. Well, Missy's found out that there's disappointments. You know what? I even lost my hair after we got married. She came into there with a relationship with a man who had hair. And it fell out. But you know what? She has to love me unconditionally. And she loves me like she's supposed to love me. But there's been times I've disappointed. You know what? I can be a jerk. I can be mean. You be quiet. I can be mean. I can be irritable. I can be so selfish. But I'm so thankful that she knows the love of God. She was willing to share it with me over the last 23 years. And if you're in here this morning and you have a spouse that loves you this love, oh God, be thankful for it. And be one willing to give it to. Because when God put something together for His glory and His honor to conform us into the image of Christ, unconditional love will be there. Another thing ought to be in our homes is truth. I can't tell you how I'm thankful for truth in our marriage. Where do we find this truth? Right here. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, you know what? We got married. We had a lot of ideas about marriage, and I found out about all of them were wrong. The way we thought it ought to be, and the way we thought it ought to work out. But you know what? As I've gotten older, I found something right there. I have everything I need Any question I have is answered. I got a map for my marriage. I just got to take God at His word. I got to follow Him wholeheartedly. And I want to tell you, I would not trade my marriage for anything in this world. It's the most precious possession that I have. Why? Because truth entered. Truth is, hey, it's not to be a battlefield every evening. It's not to be a place of hate and unforgiveness and bitterness, resentment. Oh, God, He has something a whole lot better for us. I'm glad truth entered. And through that truth, the Bible, it's challenged me. It's showed me some things. I'm learning. And it's in our home. And it's in our marriage. It says, know the truth and it shall make you free. You know what? Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 says this, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. I'm thankful for the man in the home, the woman in the home, and truth. That is Jesus Christ. That's the three cords that cannot be broken. Hey, you put the Lord in the midst. You put the Lord in the center of it all, and it's not easily broken. Mercy. Mercy is another thing ought to be in the home. How would you ever learn mercy, patience, long-suffering, heartfelt compassion if you were married to someone who never failed you, who never was difficult with you, who never sinned against you, who is never slow to acknowledge your sin or asking for forgiveness? How would we experience this mercy that we are to give out to others? Yes, the truth of the matter is, we do get done wrong from time to time. Someone has not going to treat us right all the time, but we are to show that mercy. Hey, yes, do they deserve to get what they're going to get? Yes, they do, but mercy says no. Mercy needs to be in our homes. Hey, we also need to have grace in our homes. How would we ever learn grace to pour out favor on someone who did not deserve it? If you were married to someone who was always deserving of the good things. Do you see it? Mike and Dottie, do you see it? Bill and Carol, do you see it? Amber and Andy, do you see it? Do you see it? The purpose of marriage is that your marriage be conformed to Jesus Christ. The image of Christ. You know why? Marriage is one of the greatest instruments of sanctification. And marriage is one of the greatest instruments of sanctification. Man, sanctification is something with a process we keep going through, but I want to tell you, through the marriage that God has put together and us growing together, we grow in the things of God and we see things that He has for us. You know what? We don't want that in our life. And He points out those things and we try to adapt it and we try to put them in there and allow God to work. You are married to a person who does not meet all the conditions so that you may learn unconditional love. You are married to a person that needs to grow in absolute truth. You are married to a person who needs mercy so that you learn to give it. You are married to a person who does not deserve so that you can learn to pour yourself out on a person who does not respond appropriately. And this allows you to express the characteristics of the God you worship. We worship God for these things. We worship God for every one of these things, but sadly, many times, we don't want to give them to our spouse or others. We worship God for grace, but we demand that our spouse live in such a way that they'll never need grace. Hey, we worship God for unconditional love, but we're mad when your wife or your husband doesn't meet the conditions. This is the very things we worship God for, yet we don't want to express it or even give it out to our own spouses from time to time. May we understand there must be grace in our homes. There must be grace in our marriage. Unconditional love. There must be mercy. What God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Why are you put together? To be the image of Christ. Also represents the relationship of Christ in the church. You want to know why the church is hurting, folks? Because our homes are hurting. Our marriages are hurting. You get our marriages and our homes right, our churches can be as strong as they need to be. Marriage is a glorious thing. There are people in here that are engaged. Some of them not married. You might be married one of these days. But I want to tell you, there's something you need to get knocked down right now in your life. Is you understand this. If you get married, that purpose of getting married is for the glory of God. I want to tell you, if you experience the glory, you want nothing else but the glory. Let God have your lives, have your marriage. Some of you looking for things in all the wrong places. You better look for it God's way. You know what? After salvation, marriage is the greatest decision you're ever going to make. Allow God be honored in your marriage. You know, we hear the vows in our wedding vows, and many people say, and I tell people all the time when I marry them, I say, I want you to listen to these vows. I say, we're making a promise to God, and we're saying things like this. We say, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, for better or for worse. The worse covers everything in your marriage. Think about that. People want to be married. God's intent for marriage is permanent. God's intent for marriage is permanent. Hey, there's not a way out of marriage. You're making a vow before God for better or worse. Worse covers everything, folks. Whatever your worse is that you're sitting in here now, you say, well, you know what? Maybe my marriage is about over. I'm ready to quit. I want to tell you, worse covered it. Where's the grace? Maybe your spouse is in need of grace, but I want to tell you, did you remember you were in need of grace? You were in need of grace. Maybe your spouse is in need of mercy. You were in need of mercy. You deserved. The Lord said no. And may you never forget that Christ loved you even though you were unlovable. It breaks my heart sometimes. To know that in my failures, in my sin, God still loves me unconditionally. I cannot escape His love. I can't get away from it. Oh, I can be as vile, I can be as rebellious as I want to be, but yet He still loves me unconditionally. Hey, I want to tell you, you know what? We're human beings, and sometimes we get really messed up in the head as husbands and wives. And we do some pretty stupid things. Raise your hands, guys. Some of them wave both hands. But let us not forget, we're to love unconditionally as Christians. Marriage is bigger than us. You know, I read a statement the other day and I thought about this and how true it is. Marriage, we have to come to the place in our marriages that we understand that marriage is not for us. Marriage, not for me. Marriage is all about the other person and God. I got a little thing back here we've had for a couple years. Reclaiming God's purpose. Love God, love others, and be a servant. Put that in your marriage. You're going to revolutionize your marriage. I don't know, folks. I'm just thankful. I am so thankful for God's design And I know, hey, I know I'm talking to some folks in here that maybe you've had a bad experience with marriage or whatever, and there's been some things in your past, but I want to tell you, be determined from this day forward to live for the glory of God in your marriage. You know, I know that I'm speaking to some people who maybe have a spouse that's lost. Hey, just be determined to live for God. Understand that give Him honor and glory. Hey, don't bail out on God. Live for Him and let Him bring things together the way they need to be. You know, there's some times that I deal with people that come to me and their marriage is falling apart. There's some tragedy. There's something happened in that marriage. It's just all to pieces. And next thing you know, they come together and they, well, yeah, we want what God wants. We're going to say, I'm sorry. And we're going to go and we're going to live for the Lord. God's got this. He's going to fix it. But you know what happens? One of those in that relationship decides not to follow through on what God had led him to do, or has followed through on their promise to the other, and they decide to slip off, and maybe they decide not to come to church and be fed or whatever, or do the things they want to do. And the other person comes for a little bit, but after a while, what happens? They sort of fade away. What happened? What's the problem there? They want God as long as God can fix their problems, or as long as God does something for them. But when it doesn't happen as fast as they want it to happen, they fall away from Him. You know what? Sometimes in our relationships, we know we do get jumbled up. And some people get mixed up. But God help us to be patient and understand what it means that He is our everything in that relationship. Each individual in that relationship has a personal responsibility to God. And that personal responsibility to God will bring them together as one in Him. To have the closeness that needs God's desires to be in that marriage. I hope that this has been a help to you today. The purpose in marriage is for us to be conformed to the image of Christ. May we never forget that. And you know what? Maybe you're here today and your marriage is suffering. Your marriage isn't as strong as it needs to be. Hey, just commit it to the Lord. Hey, if you're sitting here this morning with your husband and wife, look over to them and say, you know what? I want our marriage to be a glorious thing. Hey, let's do that. I like it. Everybody do that. Man, y'all cut that stuff out. Not kissing and stuff. Gee. But be determined. I want to tell you, with God's help, it can happen. And by the way, make sure, if you're in here and you're thinking about marriage, hey, make sure you honor God even before you're married. Don't rob yourself of some blessings that God has for you. Men, be men enough to love them unconditionally for who they are and want to protect them. Ladies, want all that God would have for you in marriage and let God do a work. Young people, I want to tell you, we're giving you guys a bad rap on what marriage looks like. I'm sorry. But I want to tell you, God has something a whole lot more. I would ask you, forgive my generation, would you? We've really messed it up. But be determined. I want you guys to leave here with hope. Hope. For yourselves and your marriages.